We have seen all the attributes, but we have not seen that he is my king. He is my king. See 33:22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He is our king. I wanted to share my small testimony. Testimony is always based upon two phases. One is physical and one is spiritual. So physical part, this morning I've told brother that I will skip because of the time as well. And I was born in a Christian family. And my father was one of the elder in Peshawar Assembly. But I was always running away from God. Even though when as a young boy he used to give me money to put in the offering, I run and eat that also. I hide the money here, there, somewhere to don't put it, you know. So as a young man, I came to America in 1982. And one evening, 1989, Brother Martin from Vishakhapatnam, he was sharing about the faithfulness of the Lord, and he shared two verses. One, Psalm 27, verses 10, when your mother and father leave you, I will not forsake you. And 1 Peter 5, 7, cast your burden upon me because I care about you. And he spoke for a while, and once I was sitting in his meeting, and he spoke for 6 hours. 6 hours he spoke. And, then reading that, I put my Bible away. Our assembly was Baraka House of Worship in Brooklyn for 13 years. We traveled 80 miles from Rockland to New York City, going to the assembly. Yearly we used to have convocation or retreat of our church in Schoolies Mountain. So all the family members left. We were about 35 to 42 people used to go to Baraka from Rockland. And I was home alone, and I was listening to Indian Hindi music and painting in the house. Someone spoke to my mind, go and pray. I turned off the tape recorder, and I simply went into my room, and I said, Lord, I cannot do it. Please do it for me. As I got up, strange, I felt my heart was warm. It was burning. I put my hand on my chest and felt the warm, warm burning in the Bible is to opening the eyes of heart. And God, came into my life. God, the Lord Jesus forgave my sins, and I was born again July 16th, 6 p.m., Thursday, 1989. And that was my new beginning, basis upon Psalm 27, verses 10 and 1 Peter 5, 8. 5-7. And then 96, I start sharing the gospel. And I have co-workers of Brother Buxing used to come to my house. Brother Martin, Brother K. Philip, Uncle Lazarus San, Eddie Williams, and Dr. Koshi. So, they have started the table in the house to begin to start worshiping. And that is how this work began. And 2000, I became a full-time servant. And I'm serving the Lord full-time. And it is my request. Please pray for me that the Lord may be glorified. And as he wanted to use, so he may use me. So that is how my life has changed. I wanted to bring the greeting from Bethesda International to you. Please kindly pray for Pakistan. This morning in Lahore, there was an earthquake. large-scale earthquake while we were coming to your house, brother. My sister-in-law called my wife and told her there is a large-scale earthquake in Pakistan, Lahore. So please pray for Pakistan. There are many Christians lives in Lahore, and please kindly pray for them. Please kindly open in the book of Psalm. In our church, we are studying the book of Psalm. So I'm just, sharing you from the book of Psalm, chapter 45. The book of Psalm, chapter 45, we are going to read 17 verses responsively. One verse I will read, the second you read it. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Guide your soul upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. Your arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemy. The people fall under you. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen in the gold of Ophir. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favor. She shall be brought to the king in the robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you. Instead of your father shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. See, Psalm 45, it says the glories of the Messiah and his bride. The glories of Messiah and his bride, the chief musician, in Hebrew it is Shoshanim, which means lilies, the lilies. A contemplation of the sons of Korah, a song of love. So there are four psalms which are called the Psalm of Love. Psalm 45, Psalm 60, Psalm 69, and Psalm 80 are the love psalms because they speak about the excellencies of the Lord Jesus. Here we are going to see today the pictures that the Lord Jesus Christ, why God is speaking to his son, your throne, O God, is the scepter of your kingdom. God the Father is speaking to the God the Son, such language. You see, Shoshanim means the lily. That is one of the name of the Lord Jesus. See, in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1, I am the rose of the Sharon and the lily of the valleys. The Lord Jesus is called the lilies of the... Why this? He's called the lilies of the valleys. See, please kindly open the book of Kings, chapter 7. 1 Kings, chapter 7. And we are going to see verse 21, then he, chapter 7, verses 21, then he set up the pillars by the vestibule of the temple. He set up the pillars on the right and called the name Jachin, which means stability, which means strength. And and on the left, he called its name Boaz, which means stability, which God gives us stability. The top of the pillars were in the shape of lilies. See, two pillars were in the temple, and these temples were about 34 feet high, 27 feet plus the crown, you see verse 19, the capitals which were on the top of the pillar in the hall were in the shape of lilies, 4 cubits, which is 7 feet. So 20, 34 altogether, they were high. And the work of on the top, on these pillars, was lilies, flowers. See, because the Lord is so precious to the Father that only God can see the work of the lilies. It was visible from the eyes of the men, but God could see. No wonder the Lord Jesus is called the lilies of the valleys, the lily of the valley. So he, this psalm is dedicated to the Messiah. This is the psalm of the Messiah. This is the psalm of the wedding of the Messiah. It is not only the love song, but it is about the wedding. It is about the Messiah. And what does he say? My heart is overflowing with a good theme. There is something when the psalmist is writing this psalm, his heart was bubbling. He cannot contain the heart because the heart is, you know, bubbling toward the Lord Jesus. He's speaking to him about the excellencies of the Lord Jesus, because we just read the best, we just sang the best book to read is the Bible. Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. That is the theme. Basic instruction before leaving earth. But his heart, you know, he is overflowing with a good theme. So what is the theme of the Bible? The theme of the Bible is the Lord Jesus. See, there is only one author of the Bible, that is God. And there is only one theme of the Bible, is that is the salvation of the men. He is saying, I recite my composition written concerning the king. See, the king is the Lord himself. He is talking about him. He is the composition. The song is about, the theme is about this, the song of love about the lilies. The Lord said, I am the lily of the valley. God only see the work of the lily, you know, upon the Jachin and Boaz, both pillars in the temple. We are going to look upon 4 pictures of the Lord from verse 1 to verse 2. He says, you are fairer than the sons of men. Number one, you know, we are looking about the son of men. There is a difference between the son of God and the son of men. You see, in the theological language, please forgive me if you do not understand, it is called the hypostatical union, which speaks about he is fully God and he is fully man. You know, there are many verses in the scripture that's concerning, speaks about this matter. And before we do that, you see, in verse 2, he's spoken as a man. You are fairer than the sons of men. In verse 6, he is spoken as God. Let us go to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a son, for unto us a child is born. For unto us a child is born, which means that really speaks about his humanity. Humanity of the Lord Jesus. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. When the word the son is given, comes, you know, that really speaks about the deity. It speaks about the lordship of Jesus Christ, Psalm 2. Psalm 2, and we see verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. You see, there is a son word, the Ben. Word is Ben, like Benjamin, the son of my right hand. You know, when Rachel, you know, she was about to give birth to Benjamin, and you know, she, because of the pangs, because of the pain of the birth, she could not survive. And before she died, she named this boy Benoni, the son of my sorrow. The son of my sorrow. But the Lord is speaking concerning about his son, that is the Lord Jesus. The word is used, the Hebrew word is used, Ben, or in Urdu or Arabic is Ibn. Ibn so and so. You know? Ibn. Ibn Khuda. Ibn Khuda, the son of God. So he, and but verse 12, kiss the son. When the Lord is speaking, kiss the son, that there is another Hebrew word that is bara, like the son of Barjona. When the Lord spoke to Peter, he says, son of Barjona, or Barnabas, the son of consolation, or Barabbas, the son of Barabbas, you know, like that. So that is the word bara, bar. So one is, Ben is concerning a relationship, the Lord Jesus with his father. And this relationship, when the Lord is saying, kiss the son, he is saying, obey the son. He's talking about his relationship to the nations, his relationship to the Gentiles. What he says, kiss the son, lest he be angry. See, the Lord is speaking to the Gentiles, kiss the son, obey the son, lest your God be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled. But a little blessed are all those who put their trust in him. So our Lord Jesus Christ, he is called the Son of God. You see, both name, the Son of Sorrow, the Man of Sorrow, and that speaks about the Lord in Isaiah 53, verse 3, that he was the Man of Sorrow, rejected by man, despised by man. So he represent that, you know, that he is the Man of Sorrow. Then he is the Son of the Right Hand. The Lord said to my God, you know, Jehovah said to the Adonai in Psalm 110, verse 1 and 2, the Lord said to my Lord, one is Adonai and one is the capital Jehovah God and one is the lowercase, and that is speaks. Whenever the Jews speaks about, you know, the Lord God, if they do not want to mention the name of the Lord, Jehovah God, they always use the capital L and the lowercase about Adonai, about the Lord Jesus, about Yeshua. They always talk about him. That name is also that he is the son of my right hand. So here, that is the theme. And what he is telling him, the Lord Jesus, see, the son of man or the son of God. The Lord did not refer himself as the son of man maybe a couple times, but more than 88 times he is called the son of man, because we are looking this messianic. We are looking this messianic psalm. So we are looking this messianic title, the son of man. The son of man. You see, the glories of the son of man. Please kindly open the book of Daniel chapter 7. The book of Daniel chapter 7, we see that verse 9, the vision of the Ancient of Days, that is the name of the Lord Jesus. I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. That is the picture. You know, this same picture, it is being depicted in the book of Ezekiel when he talks about the wheel within wheel. That is the throne of God, because God is seated upon the cherubims. The God throne is upon the cherubims. So that is the picture. That is the picture of the throne of God. And then verse 13. I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man. That is the Lord Jesus. That is coming with the clouds of heaven. You see, clouds, they always speak in the Bible. When we speak about clouds, it speaks about the presence of the Lord, because God hide himself in the cloud. And when we read the clouds in the book of Hebrew chapter 12, he speaks about the people. You know, a cloud of witness. Cloud of witness. So the Lord is coming in the presence of the Ancient of Days. You will see gradually how this title is changed to the Lord Jesus from God the Father in verse 22 when we finish verse 13. And behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the cloud of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, came to the God the Father. Let us go to verse 22. You see, it's gradually changed. Until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in the favor of the saints of the Most High. See, the name being interchanged, the name of the Father given to the Son, because keep your finger and let us go to the Gospel of John chapter 5 and 24. Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 27. I'll read, and has given him authority to execute judgment also. To whom? Because he is the Son of Man. Because he is the Son of Man, there we are reading, and judgment was made in the favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came of the same saints to possess the kingdom. The Ancient of Days is going to come back. We don't know when he's coming back, but the Lord Jesus promised that he's coming back. The first promise in the Bible about his coming is in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 1. You believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you where I am. There you shall be also. That is the first promise. That is the first promise Lord has given, that he is going to come back. The Ancient of Days is going to come back, and the kingdom of God is going to give to the saints. One day we are going to participate when the Lord is going to reign for 1,000 years. And we don't know what kind of work we are going to do, but there will be some work for us spiritually to minister to the Lord. Because the kingdom is given to the saints for 1,000 years. So, dear brothers and sisters, you see, the gospel, you see, the Lord Jesus we have seen is called the Son of Man. You see, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life ransom for many. He paid the price for many, and I am one of them. A sinner, a saved sinner, the Lord Jesus paid the price for my sins. When we study the word redemption, you know, there are three different words of Greek language that, you know, that really set apart things, and, you know, it really split the hair, the meaning of redemption tells us. See, let us go to the book the book of Hebrew. The book of Hebrew. The book of Hebrew, chapter 9. And we are going to see verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption, Lutrocres. Redemption, to pay the ransom for someone. To pay the ransom. So he said that his life a ransom for many. His life is sufficient. The Lord Jesus' life is sufficient. You see, in Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 10, he says, the thief does not come except to kill, to steal and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, this life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This life we are possessing today. You see, this life of the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, we are having. And, you know, in the Gospel of Matthew, you know, when the Lord was, you know, they were trying, there was an illegal trial. There were six illegal trials that night to the Lord Jesus. And one of them, you know, the high priest, see, please kindly open Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. Gospel of Matthew chapter 26 and 62. And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it? These men testify against you." But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God." He said, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man." That is the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus. Because the Word became flesh. The Son of Man became a man. Incarnation took place. Incarnation took place. So, you know, it is important for the fabric of the Christianity to preach about the incarnation of the Lord himself. He says, sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the cloud of heavens. So the Lord is going to come back with the cloud. The Lord is going to come back. He is going to come back with thousands upon thousands, thousands upon thousands of saints. They are going to come back. He's ready to come back. But we don't know when he's going to come back. So pray that, you know, we see what is going on in the world. Innocent people are dying for nothing. These are the signs of coming of the Lord Jesus. So let us prepare ourselves that, Lord, that I may not be ashamed when you come, because there will be the judgment seat of Christ, Bema seat of Christ, before the great white throne. That will be after the 1,000 year. But before that, after the rapture, there will be the Bema seat of Christ, the saints. All the saints are going to be judged before the Lord. Our sins are not going to be judged, but our works are going to be judged. What we have done after coming into the faith. What we have done after coming to the faith. So that judgment is going to happen, you know. It is going to happen. That speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verses 10 onward. So dear brothers and sisters, you know, when Jesus says that he is the Son of Man, he is speaking about his title, messianic title, that he is fully man and he is fully God. This man, this king we worship. See, verse 2. "You are fairer than the sons of man." The Lord Jesus. Now, you know, we are going to trace what does the Bible speaks about the beauty. You know, in Isaiah chapter 53 says, you know, when we look upon him, there is no beauty we see. But other verses, you know, speaks about the excellencies, speaks about the beauty of the Lord Jesus. The book of Song of Solomon. Let us look at the Song of Solomon and chapter 5 and verses 10. "He's called my beloved, is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000s. There he says he's fairer among 10,000. See, chapter 2. Let us look at chapter 2. He speaks about his voice. "Oh, my dove, in the cliff of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." When we hear the small, still voice, isn't that sweet? That is the sweetest voice ever can speak. He says, Your voice is sweet. See, he talks about his mouth, the mouth of the Lord Jesus, chapter 5, verse 16. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. He is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughter of Jerusalem. So he is altogether lovely. His mouth is, see, Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 36. And this is the second time. Verse 36. John is looking, he looked Jesus the second time again. The next day John stood, because in verse 29, he already mentioned the Lamb of God who takes away the the sins of the world. And here we see that again the next day John stood with two of his disciples and looked at Jesus as he walked. He was looking upon the walk of the Lord Jesus. He was walking so beautifully. He was walking so straight. There was no ripple in his walk. So he looked upon the walk of the Lord and he mentioned, he walked. His walk is straight. His walk is straight. You see, why does he tells us that, that is, his voice is sweet, lips are sweet, his mouth is sweet. You see, there is a reason he's saying this thing. Please kindly go to Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And verse 22. So all bore witness to him and marvel at the gracious words which proceed out of his mouth. Isn't it wonderful? His lips are sweet. And what are coming? The gracious word. Gracious word. See, John tells us something else. 7. Gospel of John chapter 7. Gospel of John chapter 7. And verse 46. Now these officers, they went to arrest the Lord Jesus, but they could not arrest him. And now they are giving the testimony concerning this man. They are saying, the officer answered, no man ever spoken like this man. No man ever spoken like this man. He is, because he is different. See, Psalm 45 verse 2. Grace is poured upon his lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. That is the Lord we are looking. That is what he's spoken. No wonder the psalmist's heart is bubbling, because the theme is pouring out from his heart and he's talking about all these excellencies of the Lord Jesus. He is fairer among the 10,000s. There is nobody like him. So beautiful, so majestic. There is no one like him. No wonder the Lord said, I will not give my glory to anybody, because there is nobody worthy in this world. Moses said, who is unto like thee, O Lord, who is so immaculate? This God we are seeing in Psalm 42. Let us look at the final verse in Matthew. Let us look at the concerning his Matthew chapter 7 and verses 29. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 28. And so it was when Jesus has ended these saying that the people were astonished at his saying. They were astonished. Then what he says, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribe. He has the authority to teach. He is a good teacher. He is a good teacher. The Lord is the good teacher. He has the authority. The Bible says, all the authority of heaven and earth is given unto me. The Lord said, all the authority. He is sovereign God. The word sovereign means the one who can oppose the obligations. So he has the right. He said he taught them as one having authority. Authoritative. His word is authority. Let us go. Verse 3. You gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. The Lord is the glorious King. You know, the brother just quoted Revelation 5:5, where the Lord Jesus, you know, is called the line of tribe of Judah. You know, my favorite channel are the couple channels, but one of them is the animal channel. And on this animal channel, if the lion program is coming, I will be sitting there, even at 2 hours. I will not move. You know, if I'm, you know, drowsy, I will just hang on to it. I love lions, you know, because when they roar, their roars can be heard 5 miles away. You know, these people, those who are expert, tells us. But what about this, the line of tribe of Judah? You know, the enemy is called, you know, the Bible warns us to be sober and be vigilant. Your enemy, the devil. Devil means the one who slander you, who walks about like a roaring lion, wanted to devour. But he has no match. He is called the young lion also in Psalm 91, but he has no match with the line of tribe of Judah. See, because he says, get up, because he talks about his majesty. You know, when when the Israelite, they were delivered from Egypt, and there was a first song in the Bible. There is about 14, 15 Psalms in the Bible, and that is the first psalm, first song. And Moses said, the Lord is the man of war. He is the man of war. He said, the gird up your sword. He is going to come back with the sword of his mouth. You see, there are two words for the sword. There are two words. See, one word, logos, which means the whole Bible. And then there is one word, which is the Greek word, rhema, which speaks about that sword. You know, certain verses which you memorize when you are under attack by the enemy. So God is saying, you know, gird up yourself with the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. Then he says, you know, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. All these armor of God is about God. You know, what is the best protection against the wiles of the enemy is the prayer life. And then after prayer, you put on these armor one by one. They are five, you know, they are five which are only for defensive. Girding ourselves with the truth, you know, putting the breastplate of righteousness, putting the shoes of good tidings, you know, Jesus Christ is our peace, and taking the shield, the Lord is my shield, and the helmet of salvation. See, the helmet of salvation, and finally, he's talk about the sword, the word of God, that is rhema. So it is important. If you wanted to stand against the enemy, then memorize the word of God. That is the only offensive sword God has given us. Five others are only for defensive. Only one offensive we have, that is the certain word. You know, like for instance, when we are fearful, when I will be afraid, God will be with me, you know. By faith you proclaim, like that. So dear brothers and sisters, he is talking about this man. See, because our victory, we are not fighting for the victory. Because he's girded up his sword upon his thigh, O mighty one, because the Lord fight for us. The battle is belong to the Lord. He is the chief of the armies of the Lord. This is what he told Joshua in chapter 5. So, you know, we only can have the victory through Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, we give thanks to God. Through Jesus Christ, we have victory. You know, we have, the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 37. We read, yet in all things we are more than conqueror through him who loved us. In what things you are conqueror, for I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principality, these are the bad angels, nor power, these are the ranks of the evil in the heavenly places, nor things present nor things comes, nor height nor depth. Those people, height and depth, those people who believes in the stars. If the stars are on the height, they cannot separate us from the love of God. And if the stars are on the depth, they cannot separate us from the love of God. This is what he's saying. So yet in all things, we are more than conqueror through him who loved us. That is the Lord Jesus. That therefore, you see, let us go. We are looking, look to verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The book of Hebrew. The book of Hebrew. Chapter 1. The book of Hebrew, chapter 1 and verse 8. But to the Son. See, this is God the Father is speaking to the Son, God the Son. Did you hear me? God the Father is speaking to the God the Son. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God. Psalm 110. God the Father was speaking in the eternity, and somehow David got involved into that conversation and penned down those words. And the Lord is saying to the Lord that you sit on my right hand side until I make your enemy your footstool. No wonder the Lord Jesus said all the authority of heaven and earth is under his feet today. There is nothing which is out of his subjection. He is the Lord over all. See, where is the Lord Jesus? You know, when we talk about the principalities and power, you know, we always think about, you know, satanic forces. Now, that's where Jesus is. According to Ephesians chapter 1, you know, that's where Jesus is. Please kindly keep your finger and go to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. And verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated at him right hand in the heavenly places. Heavenly places. Heavenly places is the God throne. That's where God reach. That's where God touch your conscience. That's where God is with you when you are having a battle in your prayer. When you kneel down, you close your eyes, you already defeated Satan. Heavenly places. He says, God is there, and God is saying to his Son, your throne, O God. See, God the Father is telling the Son, your throne, he's saying, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. These concerning the Son. That is how God speaks in my own small understanding. Because when Jesus, before his ascension, he said to the people, you know, I'm going to your God and my God. Here God the Father speaking to the Son, your throne, O God. So the throne is belong to the Lord. The throne is belong to the Lord. That is for we kneel down before him. The throne is belong to the Lord. That is for we kneel down before him. See, when the Lord said, you know, he highly exalted him and gave him the name above every other name, the word exalted is to lift up. Huperuso. The word is lift up. No wonder the Lord said he went above the heavens, the third heaven. He went above the third heaven. And God also raises up. You know, in Ephesians 2:1, he says, you were dead in your sins and your trespasses. He raised you up and seated you in the heavenly places. Positionally, today we are seated in the heavenly places, you know, and practically we are on this earth. That is our position today, in the heavenly places. That is where the battle is. You know, when we have the battle that is in your mind, the battle goes in your mind. So we have to control the thought strain. The bad thoughts, you know, come, we need to quench at the same second moment. He speaks to his son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Lord's throne is forever. There is one verse. There is one verse in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And verse 44, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven, that is the name of the Lord when the Jews, they were in captivity for 70 years, the God of heaven will set up the kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to the people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. It will be forever. Because God said, God the Father said, your throne, O God, that is the Adonai, that is the Lord Jesus. He said, your throne, O God. When you study the Bible and minutely look at, you know, when you read about these names, many names are applied in the Old Testament to the Lord Jesus because they are in lowercase. So you always, you know, with the keen eye, you know, just write down something there so you would know it. Let us go see verse 7. Verse 9. Let us look at verse 9. The king's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stand the queen in the gold from Ophir. Now there's something, a new subject is interjected in this psalm. This is the wedding of the bridegroom. See, when today there is a bride, there is a wedding, you know, all eyes are focused upon the bride. We are all looking on the bride. You know, India, Pakistan, you know, after the marriage, you know, they put on the red suit. Everybody is looking upon them. For nothing, people are so happy. You are not even their relative. You're just looking upon that bride and you're happy. That is the joy of bride, you know, in the world. But the focus is not here. It is the bridegroom. It is the bridegroom because this is the marriage of the bridegroom. The bridegroom marriage is going to happen in heaven. When the church will be raptured. When it will be raptured, it is going to. But look at this. The word is, what word we see? The word queen. The queen, you know, injected into the history. But who is this queen? There was no church when this psalm was written. You know, there was no church. You know, but on one day, in the day of Pentecost, you know, this queen was born. This church was born. The church which was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord, the mind, you know, the question of sin was settled in the mind of God in the eternity, you know, when Adam, you know, he failed. So it was settled that one day this Lamb, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is going to stoop down, who is going to become a man, and who is going to be slaughtered one day. In Revelation, the word is used, slain. That is the same word, slaughter. He was slaughtered. He was slaughtered for yours and my sins. See, the Bible says he knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are clothed with the righteousness of God. He had no sin. He was separated from sin. You know, yet in all point he was tempted. Yet without sin. the Bible giving the testimony concerning this king, that he had no sin, yet he became sin for us. He became sin for me and he became sin for you. See, this church was born 2,000 years ago in the upper room, and one day she is going to be clothed with the gold of Ophir. This queen, today the church of Lord Jesus Christ is spotted in the world. Today we see the wrinkles on the church. We see the decay. But one day this bride will be spotless. God is going to remove the wrinkles. He is already working. You see, he is already working on this. The book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word of God, that he might present her, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, a glorious queen, a glorious woman, a glorious bride, a glorious body, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blame. You see, the Bible says, God have chosen us from the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. Ephesians 1:4. So dear brothers and sisters, God is going to remove these spots. He is going to remove the blame. That way we are going to be without wrinkle. You know, today the church is being criticized, but one day it will receive in glory. One day we are going to be received in glory. Even though one by one or caught up. But we all going to go. We all going to go to heaven. If you are being born again, you will go to heaven. If you are not being born again, the Lord said you will not see the kingdom of God. If today you have not given your heart to the Lord by hearing about the beauty and the majesty of the Lord Jesus in two messages, please open your heart. See, the Bible says, do not render your clothes, but render your heart. In Joel chapter 2, verse 13, render, open heart. Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I wanted to receive you. I wanted to confess my sins. I wanted to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I wanted to be born again. Please, if you are not being born again, give your life to the Lord today. See, the Bible says, if you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. You know, they have hardened their heart and they were for another 38 years in the wilderness. And you will be also in the wilderness, spiritual wilderness, if you harden your heart. Because today is the day of salvation. The Lord says, today you ask me, I will hear you. The Lord says, today you ask me, I will hear you. So by, you know, hearing, going to different places and coming back to Psalm 45, looking upon this gracious Son of Man, looking upon his beauty, looking upon his valor, about his being mighty, the man of war, and about his marriage. Please do not be left alone to be the bride of Christ. God bless you.